I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wow. That was fantastic, guys. Thank you. Give yourselves a hand. That was great. That really was great, and so is this, ladies and gentlemen. This is the latest from Steve Vaus, and I hope you like it as much as I do.
This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. It was purchased with the blood of patriots, consecrated for liberty. Protected through the generations, now the future rests with me. This sacred ground deserves my heart, no less for God, for freedom's cause. And if my life on sacred ground, who will answer the cry of the warriors? Who will be there to battle line? Who will lift up a prayer of courage? Who will bury me if I die? This sacred ground deserves my heart, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it on sacred ground. If I should die, watch over my family. Brothers shed no tears for me. I will be among the angels who give it all. Freedom's call. Live my life. on sacred ground. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground.
Wow, that's the latest from Steve Voss, and I love it. I just heard it for the first time today. I don't know how latest it is, but usually when I hear it, it's pretty new, unless for some reason it missed me. I promised you the other night, folks, when we had Dan Medor as a guest, his last name is spelled M-E-A-D-O-R, that I would give you the means to receive his memorandum book with three of the public notices in it that you need. Two of them will be in the next issue of Veritas, and you can order that for $15 postpaid. That's $15 postpaid, and that's the three memorandum book. And you can get two computer floppy disks. I think they're the 3.5-inch discs for $10 at just by sending. It's $15 postpaid for the book, $10 postpaid for the two computer discs with a whole bunch of stuff on it, and send those to Don Medor, Dan Medor, I'm sorry. That's right, it's Dan Medor. I don't know why. I call a lot of people named Dan Dunn and Don Dan, and I apologize for that, but I do it a lot. It's Dan Medor, P.O. Box 2582. That's P.O. Box 2582, Ponca City, spelled P-O-N-C-A. That's Ponca City, Oklahoma, 74602. That's Dan Medor, P.O. Box 2582, Ponca City, Oklahoma, 74602. Now, before we get into the regular program tonight, I want to tell you that tomorrow night is going to be a rerun because we won't be here. Tonight, we're going to head out. We'll be in Lincoln, Nebraska tomorrow, which is a hop, skip, and jump down the highway from where we're at here in Kansas City, Missouri. And it's just part of our touring conference. It's a lot of fun. So, if you're in Lincoln, Nebraska, you can stand out on the highway and watch for us. We'll be there soon. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as always at our conferences, whoever speaks during the day is the guest that night. And today we had two excellent speakers, one on survival equipment and navigation and all of this kind of stuff. And the other gentleman spoke on radios, radio equipment, scanners, frequencies, all of those sorts of things. And then we watched an excellent, every night, it's our tradition, too, when we have time to watch a significant movie of some sort. So, tonight our guest is, what's your name? Oh. Tonight our guest is John Ponder. He's an old friend of mine, and he's a significant member of the intelligence service. Let me just leave it at that. And we'll get into survival. Welcome to the Hour of the Time, John.
It's great to be here, and I wouldn't miss it for the world.
what do you think about the conference? I mean, other than it's great to be here.
Well, I wish the days had 28 hours so I could have some time to sleep, because you just don't want to leave it. You don't want to put it down and go back to the room.
Yeah, well, that's true, and we're putting in 16, 17-hour days, getting a few hours of sleep, and coming back and doing it all over again. Are we keeping you busy enough?
Absolutely.
you don't have time to get in any trouble, do you?
I haven't even turned the tube on.
Nobody here has watched any television, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you, unless they snuck out and did it. Well, your specialty and your talk today was, it's not really your specialty, but you're very, very good at it. You have a lot of specialties, is survival gear and equipment. And so let's just get right into that. What is the, right off the bat, what are the first things that must be considered as far as survival and living in the field and all of those kinds of things?
Well, the first thing is is a mental attitude that won't quit. You can't be a quitter. You've got to say, I can make it. I can do it. And no matter what, I'll survive. Another way to call it is self-sufficiency. We want each person to be self-sufficient in the field and not a burden on the other person, unless it just can't be avoided. We talked about the four basic requirements: food, fire, shelter, and the most important, water. We talked about a lot of the equipment that you need and the fact that you need to get it now. It's disappearing.
Now, let's talk about that for a minute. When you say get it now, it's disappearing, what do you mean?
Well, a lot of the sources are drying up, especially the surplus sources are being, rather than let us have back that which a lot of us paid for that was used in the military or unused in the military, is going into the crushers and the furnaces.
Or to
Mexico or other third world countries.
Or what used to be the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And places like that. Okay. So
heaven forbid we have them.
That's for sure. You can still get most of everything that you need, but sometimes you have to search for a few items,
right.
And it's not going to be.
You can't do any one-stop shopping. You've got to. I have waited as much as 60 days for a particular item that I wanted, that I needed, and they were just backordered.
And these are not high-priced items.
No,
they
were
run-of-the-mill.
$20 items. What they were pouches that fit the 30-round mags. They're hard to find, and for the particular rifle, and they just backordered. They did come, but if you had needed them the next day, you wouldn't have them. You'd be carrying stuff in your shirt pocket or tape to your arm or something someplace, but you wouldn't have them. Water filters. Some of the best are the Katadyn. Not everybody stocks them because they cost upwards between $200 and $300. And so not everybody carries high dollar water filters like that. You may have to place an order for it. What if something happens Monday morning? Or tonight? Or what if my car breaks down between here and home? Doesn't help me then.
And God forbid there's no Taco Bell.
Oh, man. I would die without that.
So would Jean. I was looking around to see if she was here because during the survival training today, every once in a while she would get up and walk toward the back and she would be mumbling under her breath, I hope there's a Taco Bell out there. I hope there's a Taco Bell out there. What are some of the first things that people should concentrate on acquiring, and if they already have those items, certainly making sure that they're in good shape and making sure that all the repairs are made and that are needed and stuff like that. Let's just start at the top and start with the most important things that people should acquire first, and then just go right through the list.
Well, probably right up there is clothing, especially boots. If your feet go, you go. Now, recently we had a new couple out with us, and she had a brand new pair of boots with her. And about halfway through the afternoon, she almost had to be carried back to the base because her feet were really hurting. You need to take your boots and break them in a little at a time until they won't hurt your feet. And to make sure that they're not going to continually hurt your feet, do they need an insole to take up some slack? Or do you have the wrong boots? Are they too big, too small? You need to find that out beforehand before you get out in the field and really rely on that because, quite frankly, I can't carry you.
Now, what happens if you have a pair of boots and every time you take your boots off, your socks and your foot is just absolutely soaked with perspiration?
Well, either that or creek water or something like that, or a soggy ground gets in there and gets your feet wet. You need to either get boots with a Pensilate or Gore-Tex lining that will let the moisture out, but won't let the moisture in. If you have, if your favorite, some people, I know some people that the $20 Vietnam jungle boots fit them to a T, and I'm very jealous because they can buy lots of boots. I have to buy the expensive ones. You can buy a Gore-Tex, what's called a Gore-Tex oversock. Rocky makes one. They're about $35. But again, one store that I visit a lot, it was my third visit that they actually had some. And the fourth visit, they did not have any. So, like I say, when you find these things, you need to acquire them and put them away.
Is it important to have anything like steel toe in your boots? Can you get boots that are good for our purposes with steel toe?
Oh, yeah, you can get boots with steel toe if you're worried about that. In fact, there's a lot of the manufacturers of the boots I wear do come in a version with steel toe, if you want that. I've never had a need for that.
You need a separate pair of boots for winter and summer, or will the same pair do for both?
It depends on the area that you're in. I like to wear mine year-round. With the Gore-Tex, it allows you your feet to breathe out. And I always carry a minimum of 3 dry socks in a waterproof bag in my pack, and I've always got a dry pair of socks to wear. And summer or winter, mine have never failed me. In some of your really cold climates in the winter, which is something that you need to prepare for, even though it's still warm out there right now, you need to think ahead. You might need some extra thermal socks, and you can look in your outdoor hiking and climbing and all that is very popular these days, and you'll find lots of upscale stores that carry all of these neat helpful things, and also hunter equipment. There's a lot of hunters have to sit on a cold deer season up in a tree, so they make extra warm socks and so forth, undergarments to keep them toasting warm,
and all that sort of thing.
All that sort of thing.
What's next? Clothing.
Okay. Basically, your field equipment. Probably your most important out of all of that, again, we're talking about water as being one of the four elements you need to survive. You need drinkable water. Just because it looks clear does not mean it's fit to drink. Most people are used to just going up to the tap, turning on the tap, and there's drinkable water. Well, in the field, you don't know what's been in that water, and especially if you've seen what's been in it around in it where I live, you won't want to drink it at all. But you either need to treat that water by boiling, by distilling with a solar still, or treating it with chemicals. My least favorite, but good in a pinch. My favorite method is to run it through a pocket filter. Some sort of water filter. Now, the Katadynes are good for 5,000 gallons per cartridge. That's why they cost so much. They're very well built. They're issued to a lot of major world power armies. You can put those filters in the nastiest looking puddle of water that may be your only water source, but it looks pretty nasty, and even if you treated it with chemicals, you wouldn't want to drink it. you can drop the filter down in there and drink it right from the exit tube.
And it filters out things like guardia and fungus,
silt. It's always a good idea to spend an extra $7 and help yourself out. Buy a silt filter.
Yeah, it also filters out bacteria.
Bacteria. Now, if you're even worried about viruses, they do make a virus filter. That is an extra $30, I think, goes on the bottom of that. So you can, you know, it depends on how worried you are, what the condition of the water in your area is. You can go as far as even cleaning out viruses.
I'm not worried about viruses.
Yeah.
I just wave my dirty socks over the water and they go away.
Yeah, I would leave. So you need water. There are sweet water filters, which around $50 to $60, depending on where you buy them. They're good for each of those cartridges are good for 200 gallons. So you figure the price, what it would cost you to...
Tell Annie it's okay. She doesn't have to leave. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, it's not bothering us.
Stay here, Annie. You don't have to leave. The baby alarm went off, folks. That's what happened. When the baby alarm goes off, Annie grabs the baby and runs for the door during the broadcast, but she doesn't have to leave. It's okay.
So you figure it out how many filters you'd have to buy to make up between 200 gallons and 5,000 gallons, you wouldn't be able to carry it all.
It just occurred to me that they don't know what the baby alarm. The baby alarm is my daughter has developed this high-pitched screech that actually hurts your ears and breaks champagne glasses, and that's what we call the baby alarm. So, where were we?
Water. We just about covered that. You can also, like I say, you carry also water tabs in your small kits, in your medical kit. You can pre-filter the water. That's very important. You want to get collect the large organic material out, or the chemicals will attack the organic material first, and there'll still be untreated water there. So you want to filter it out. You can do that with a cut-off pants leg filled with sand, whatever you can find. And filter the water a little bit, charcoal if you can find it, and then treat it with the chemicals.
I think it's important that everybody understand that there is no source of pure, drinkable, clean water left anywhere. If you come across water in the field, I don't care where it is, unless it's at the foot of three inline consecutive waterfalls with a fast-moving stream between them, I wouldn't even think about it.
No.
It's just too dangerous. If you got to live out there and you're used to eating, home-cooked food or restaurant food and drinking clean, treated, tested water all the time, even no matter how bad you think your city water supply is, folks, I guarantee you it's better than any cow pond in the state of Arizona.
If you go down from drinking bad water, you are going to be a burden on everybody else around you, assuming they are not also down because they were stupid and drank untreated water.
You're also going to leave a clear trail which anybody can follow.
That's right. You can see it and smell it. So it's just unpleasant. You don't want to go through it. It may be like eating at Taco Bell. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Poor Gene.
So, next thing you're going to need is some kind of field pack for your general stuff to put in your pack. Now, they come in a variety. My favorite is always military surplus because the military gear, for two reasons, it was built to be rugged. The seams are double-stitched. It's built out of heavy material that you can buy at, say, the five and dime store knapsacks and packs. And it also has the Alice system, which is a series of nylon webs sewed around the edges.
and they have these metal clips on your gear, and you can rearrange your gear as you need. So you need a field pack. A medium pack is good general all-purpose around. In the colder climates, you probably want a larger pack because you're going to need an extra thick sleeping bag. You're going to need extra thick clothing. You may need even extra food in order to maintain the body temperature to keep you alive. So you want to adjust that to your area that you live in. Where I live, a ranger role is pretty good, except for maybe 1 week a year that I can sleep comfortably out on the ground. That's better if you're a little off the ground during summer, because then the creepy crawlies don't get you. But for most purposes, general purpose, a medium Alice pack is fine. To that is where all of your gear goes in. A frame, either internal or external, keeps the weight distributed. You want to keep the weight on your hips, not on your shoulders, or you'll be walking in strange positions after about 1 mile. So you want to get gear. You also want to try it out.
Who's Alice, and what does she pack that's so important for us to be carrying around here? You know, there's people out there don't know what in the world we're talking about sometimes. What's this Alice pack? Is that like a box lunch or something?
Yeah, that's your Alice stands for. Who
it's
all lightweight individual carrying equipment. I can't ever remember those things. Like I say, that's the part of the load-bearing equipment, what you will carry, what carries your gear, and like I say, they're made up of a system that you can rearrange. It's also, like I say, it's made by the, generally serviced by the American military, that I like is my favorite, but, whatever works for you. In that pack, you want to keep your sleeping system, your spare clothing, at least two more canteens to carry your warm water. You want to carry your essential survival equipment for whatever you're going to use out there. Somebody's got to carry a small shovel for digging a hole in case you need to crawl into one, or you need to cover something up. yeah, you don't want to leave anything laying around, yeah.
No.
You know, stuff like your personal hygiene gear, a canvas wash basin, and a washcloth, so you can maintain your personal hygiene out in the field. Some soap that doesn't have perfume in it, such as Ivory, I think, is pretty good. There's some others. You want to carry your poncho. With your poncho, it's big enough to cover you and your pack, and also with your poncho, you can make a shelter in a hurry to get out of the rain. Your poncho liner, which makes an excellent blanket, and all these things, like I say, they're just a lot of little items that you need to go find out how to use. You need to acquire it, and do it now.
Like a on the wire, let it grow. Try in my way.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have one of our new members here for the intelligence service that has not executed his oath of allegiance, and he's going to do that on the air tonight. This is a very serious commitment, as you will soon discover. So you won't have to have this notarized because I don't want you to say your name on the air, but it's witnessed by all the other members and the attendees of the conference, so there's no need for a notary public, and I'll sign where it's required there as director of the intelligence service. So if you would please raise your right hand.
Okay.
And execute your oath.
I do affirm with free will and full knowledge that I will carry out to the best of my ability all legal and lawful instructions of the officers of the intelligence service, and that I will gather by any and all legal and lawful means information from all sources. I will provide for the free flow of information to the whole of the people, the militia of the several states of the Union. If required, I will protect and defend the Constitution of my state, execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasion. I will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America from all enemies, foreign or domestic. For the support of this oath, with a firm alliance on the protection of divine providence, I pledge my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay, folks, the hour of the time, as you already know, I believe, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Swiss America Trading specializes in hard assets. Oh, can you hear that? That's the real stuff. I mean, oh, I love it. Thank you. That's the real stuff, ladies. That's real money. I mean, real, lawful money. Coin of the realm. Money of account of the United States of America. Now, we had another speaker today, so we didn't really get to finish up all this survival stuff, but that just gives you a little hint because, you know, he wouldn't have time anyway because he spoke for literally hours. So we're going to have our radio expert come up here and finish out the rest of the broadcast. But first, I want you to go to your telephone and call Swiss America Trading and thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. Ask them for the latest newsletter. Find out how you can get your hands on some real money. Real money. The real stuff. You know that stuff you just heard. And, folks, do it now. We're very close, and I mean very close. Pay close attention to what Clinton says during the Democratic National Convention, because I think he's going to pop a few surprises on us. And
You better pay close attention. Call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. You know how we all tend to procrastinate. 1-800-289-2646.
If you want a partner,
no, I won't do that. Get out of here.
Or if you want to strike me down in anger.
Yeah, I'll do that. Okay.
Tell me, old man. If you want a boxer, I will step in.
No, but John will. Yeah, go right over there. See John.
If you want a Jewish doctor, all on the cover, every inch of you. If you want a travel clown sign, or if you want to take me for a ride, well, you know you can.
Had another gentleman here who also spoke today, Mark, who gave us quite a bit of information on land navigation and compasses and maps and all of that kind of stuff. And so I want to say thanks to Mark. Thank you, Mark, wherever you're at. I know you're on the way home, so I hope you're listening. And we're going to begin now with our radio man. And, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Mr. Brett Woolley. And, Brett, if you'll start off and tell us, got to get right up here, tell us what it is you do and how you do it. And you don't have to go into a lot of detail of where and when, but just start off and tell us what you know about all this stuff.
Well, as far as signal intelligence, everybody out there needs to buy a scanner and start listening. It's our duty to listen in on Big Brother. You know they're listening in on you. I encourage everyone that can hear my voice to join the Intelligence Service or CADGI News Service and contribute to the freedom that we all so desire. As far as what I talked about today was what scanners to buy, what good ones to look for, where to look for them. Hamfest are great bargain places to find scanners.
I gotta tell you, folks, this soft voice just throws me for a loop, and I know it's throwing you. No, you don't have to get up any further because it's not going to get any louder. I mean, you're as loud as you're going to get. But this is a big fella sitting here. I mean, he sounds a lot different, but this is a big fella sitting here, and he's not a public speaker, and he's told me that about 40 times today. But he has a wealth of knowledge. Let's talk about, Brett, let's talk about what first, for those out there who don't know, what is a scanner?
It's a programmable radio receiver that you can change the frequencies by a keypad. Memories are differing between the units. They can be a 10-channel programmable scanner clear up to a 1,000-channel programmable scanner. The more channels you can program in at one time, the more you can scan, the more frequencies that you can go through and gather information, intelligence that might be essential for our freedoms and liberties here. A citizens review board type situation is definitely in order with the ongoing oppression of our freedoms and rights.
Of the jackbooted Nazi thugs, right?
Correct.
Okay. we've got to call them what they are.
That's not.
Let's, and that doesn't mean all of them are, but we know who we're talking about, don't we? BATF and FBI and some of the others. When we're talking about scanners and you're talking about frequencies, basically for those people who don't know what a frequency is, it's like if you pick up your telephone, you dial a certain number, you get a certain person on the other end of that line. If you dial another number, you don't get that person, you get somebody else, maybe in another town. Well, the same way with radio frequencies, you dial in a frequency, you get a certain bandwidth of the electromagnetic spectrum where certain people are talking on radios. And if you dial in another frequency, you get a whole other spectrum and a whole different group of people who are talking on radios. And that's basically what you mean when you say frequency. Is that correct?
Correct. You can listen to the police, the emergency fire people, the trains. You can listen to aircraft. I mean, there is a wide spectrum of different sources to listen to.
But you don't want to listen to people talking on cell phones.
That's illegal by federal laws.
Right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, I like that. I like that word. They're always using allegedly, right? Allegedly.
And you know the media has about 10 scanners in every vehicle and in the newsroom just trying to find something.
Yeah, and they're listening to everybody. They're worse than Big Brother. I mean, they're literally listening to everybody. If they could put a microphone in your bedroom, they would, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I would think so.
Nasty folk.
They're into whatever dirt that they can dig.
Yeah. Sensational, dirty sound bites. That's what they're looking for.
And believe me, they will edit it to their benefit.
Right. Okay, now, we know that you need a scanner. We know what a scanner is now. We know what frequencies are. What are the important things to look for when somebody goes out to get a scanner?
Buy a programmable scanner. There's some older model scanners that are crystal controlled, and just stay away from them unless you get them for a dollar or two. I mean, they're just not worth having. With the programmable ones, you can change the frequency at any time. You can search up and down through the frequencies to find new frequencies, and there are many sources of frequencies compiled in books and databases on the internet and the World Wide Web. So in your area, you can either get on the computer and get online and find your frequencies that are applicable to you in your area, or buy books at Radio Shack or through Betty Bearcat or some of the other catalog sources.
What are some of the other desirable features? For instance, one of mine has a feature where if I program it in, when I go to scan, it won't stop on any birdie channels, any birdie frequencies. It just skips them right over, but it'll stop on everything else. It'll stop on voices. And there are other features. What are some of them?
Well, I recommend something that is mobile, portable use, you know, that's battery powered or 12 volts, that you plug it in the car and go. A base scanner is, you know, limited to just AC, and if the power's down, your information gathering's down. I also recommend always having a recorder handy, because you might get something really good that they're only going to broadcast once, you know, so be ready to log that information via microcassette or regular cassette. Also, you can log while you're sleeping if you have a video camera. And a VCR, you can focus the video camera on the screen of the scanner to record the frequency, dump the audio into the audio section of the VCR, and so you have both the station that it's broadcasted on and the audio to accompany the information.
Are there any special antennas that you need? Can you use the? Do they come with antennas?
They all come with an antenna. For varying frequency ranges, you can change your antenna to get better reception, higher gain. You can also use external antennas, for example, on your vehicle or your home, and get a lot more increased range, or directional antennas with a rotor or a beam type operation, so you can change the direction to hone the area which you're trying to catch.
To pull in specific signals.
Right.
Is there anything else? What is the price range of a good scanner? I mean, should somebody go out and spend $1,000? Can they spend $100? I mean, and what are the advantages of we know in radios already, and we've discussed it extensively today, that if you don't spend about $200, you're really not getting much in any kind of a radio.
That's
even CBs nowadays, you need to put out about $200 to get a real good, or to begin to get real good equipment. The only exception that I know of to that are Stangium products, which are just, as far as shortwave goes, I don't know about everything else, but shortwave, they're just top of the line at any price. Even their small, inexpensive sets. But specifically in scanners, what are the price ranges and names of scanners that people should be looking for? And bear in mind that most of the people who don't have scanners that might be shopping for one are beginners, and they should be the easiest to operate because they can be a little intimidating sometimes.
Start off with around the $200 price range. Radio Shack makes excellent models. Bearcat, which is Uniden, AOR, ICOM, those are all good names. You can spend just as much as you want to spend. You can spend clear up into the $1,000 range, plug it into your computer, and have a computer-controlled scanner. The capabilities are endless, just depending on how many dinero you have.
Dinero?
Fraud notes, I don't know.
Dinero?
Mucho dinero.
I thought that's what Dean Martin did when he went home.
Where are we? What are we doing?
See how that works? Well, just threw him right off.
Derailed that train of thought.
Just derailed that train. We were talking about prices and names of good scanners, or at least in beginning to be in the good range. Maybe people want to buy a less expensive one and experiment with it before they jump in and spend a lot of money, that are easy to operate, not too intimidating with 20 million buttons and you have to execute 10 actions in order to get something to happen.
Well, if you can't read serial instructions, I don't recommend buying a scanner, because the manuals read like serial instructions. You need to go through and...
That's it for me. I'm out.
Oh, you can adapt and overcome. Endeavor to persevere. Come on.
Adapt and overcome.
Don't give up on
me. Let's march on Washington.
No.
Adapt and overcome. Adapt and overcome. Adapt and overcome. Wave your flags, folks. Okay. Names, addresses, phone numbers.
Of?
Girls. Who else?
Oh. Well, my black book's over there. Dave's been looking for it.
Uh-oh. You're going to draw Michelle out from wherever she's hiding. Scanners,
antennas.
Give us some names. Yeah, scanners,
well,
antennas.
I mentioned Radio Shack. You can go down to the Shack and find a wide selection. They probably carry 20 different models, starting from, I think, around $89 on up to $400. I definitely recommend a 12-volt that you can plug in the car, or a battery-powered that you can, you know, have a second or third set of batteries charged up and ready to go, because when something happens, you want to be able to get the information and not have a dead scanner.
You also recommended Uniden.
Uniden.
Bearcat. Now, there are a lot of others out there. I know a lot of people are using something called Yazoo. In fact, I have one of those and was recommended to me. Everybody where I live uses Yazoo. Now, I'm no expert, and I'm not recommending it. I don't know why, but it was recommended to me, and I didn't know anything about them, so I bought it. It's a good scanner. What do you think about that?
Great scanners. AOR is another brand, ICOM. There's a lot of companies out there making good equipment.
I think that second one that I just...
AOR?
I think it's an AOR, yeah. Don't hold me to that. I'll call you when I get home, and we'll talk about it. But what are some of the... procedures for using a scanner? For instance, if you wanted to set up in your home a method for monitoring, let's say all of the frequencies that you know we as an intelligence organization should be monitoring in your area, how would you go about finding those frequencies, setting them up on your scanner, and then what kind of a regimen would you recognize in actually going about that?
Well, when you set up your scanner, you want to set it up in an orderly fashion. Program your banks and catalog on paper a hard copy of what each frequency and who it belongs to. So if you're scanning through and you come to a frequency and there's something happening, you can refer to your your backup sheet and know who it is and who's talking and what they're talking about. Also for finding frequencies later, if you have deleted them to put in new frequencies to scan. As far as finding those frequencies, you can go to Radio Shack and get a scanning frequency guide. For different sections of the country, they have broken it up for regional areas.
And Radio Shack is a catalog. If you walk into the store and what you need isn't there, you can always order it from the catalog.
Correct.
Okay. And so you get these frequencies and you program them into the banks of your scanner, and then what do you? How do you know when to listen?
Well, whenever you get a chance to listen, you can listen, and you're liable to hear something. You need to set up, for example, like your bank one for your local police department. That's your most active frequencies in your area most of the time. Bank two for your state highway patrol. Bank three for the federal frequencies in your area, and so on. You need to be able to set up those banks in an orderly fashion so you can turn the bank off or turn the bank on. So you can not be scanning all 100 channels or all 200 channels. You can scan just 10 channels and concentrate on that area. You know, expand your spectrum as you learn more.
Can you take your scanner to work?
Sure.
And like if somebody was working outdoors all day, you could wear it on your belt and...
Plug in headphones. I do it all the time.
All right. That's great. Now, some states have laws where if you get caught with a scanner in your automobile, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, be careful of the laws in your area, and especially those people listening overseas. If you have a scanner, they might put out sapper broadcasts to lure you in. They might say a UFO landed on your house or your neighbor's house, and you go out to look, and they're saying, hey, don't be driving around with that scanner.
Yeah, and they do that in some places. Okay, so now there's other radio equipment, of course, that you talked about today. And we know that it is desirable to have as much different types of communications equipment as possible. Scanner is just a way to monitor a whole bunch of different frequencies and find out what activity is going on, and then, you know, decide if you want to listen to one frequency or two all the time, switch back and forth, or a whole bank or several banks. But there's a whole other world for communicating between states or between cities. There's ham radio, for instance. You want to talk about that for a few moments?
You can scan those frequencies on most of your commercially available scanners also. Ham radio frequencies in the 2-meter or the 440 area of the spectrum. Very active for short-range communications and repeater-type link-ups.
What if somebody wanted to set up a communication station? Are several people in different places wanted to communicate with each other on a regular basis, both transmit and receive. How would you go about that?
Different ways you can set up for communications between individuals. There's a GMRS radio that's available now that's a UHF radio that's available for families and groups for use. CBs are always an option. Especially with sideband, gives you a lot more range and power to punch through some of the noise floor that you have in the spectrum. Handheld personal radios, Motorola, Radio Shack, there's a few different companies that have those available. Low power UHF and VHF for, you know, 1 or 2 mile range between cars or between individuals. The spectrum is, you know.
What about surplus military radios? I notice in the FAIR radio catalog, which I get all the time, there are an awful lot of military RTO-type radios that you carry on your back. Has anybody had any success with that kind of equipment?
Yeah, you can pick up some of that vintage communications equipment, and it's just built like, you know, rock solid. Government didn't spare any expense of our money buying the best they could.
Yeah. How about batteries? Are those readily available?
No. The military communications radios, the batteries aren't available, but you can adapt standard commercial batteries to that.
How would you find out how to go about doing that?
There's books available either through FAIR Radio or CRB Research.
Okay. Are you Do you bring with you any names and addresses? For instance, how do people get the Fair Radio catalog?
I've got it here, but I didn't have it.
Has anybody got that information out there? Since we're talking about it, maybe they'll send us a coupon. If we send them a whole bunch of requests for catalogs, maybe they'll send us a coupon.
They deal in a lot of military surplus, both U.S. and Canadian. And
every once in a while, I see some really interesting stuff in there. And I really want to buy it, but I don't know what to do with it when I get it. Okay, here we go. Fair Radio Sales Company. Fair Radio Sales Company. And fair is spelled just like you learn in school. F-A-I-R. Fair Radio Sales Company. I really love their catalog, and even though I've never purchased anything from them, I know I will one of these days. And I always, you know, sometimes I'll sit up and go through this, you know, two or three times, and I have been very, very tempted to buy some of the things that they've had in this catalog. And I know people who do on a regular basis who are radio nuts, and they've always been pleased with what they got. It's P.O. Box 1105. That's P.O. Box 1105, Lima, L-I-M-A, Ohio, 45802. It's Fair Radio Sales Company. P.O. Box 1105, Lima, Ohio, 45802. Probably one of the most interesting catalogs I've ever had in my possession. If you want to call them and just ask them to send you a catalog, call 419-223-2196. That's 419-223-2196. Tell them you heard about it on the Hour of the Time with William Cooper, and ask them to send us a catalog so that we can get, you know, so that we can use their catalog.
Also check your local newsstand. You might find Popular Communications or Monitoring Times. They're both excellent frequency sources, updated monthly by contributing.
No, Monitoring Times is a scumbag rag publication. They called me a white supremacist. My wife is Chinese. I'm part Native American. Don't get Monitoring Times. Throw it in a trash can. Use it for toilet paper. I sued them. They printed a retraction. But they, you know, they intentionally tried to make me look like a white supremacist, and I'm not. So, as far as I'm concerned, Monitoring Times can go suck. Okay?
Sorry,
I never mention that on my radio broadcast again. Go ahead, Brett.
Antique Radio Supply, if you are messing around with those vintage communications receivers or some of this military equipment, is a great source for tubes and electrolytic capacitors. Most of your older tube radios, the filter capacitors will have gone bad in just sitting around in somebody's garage or barn. And Antique Radio Supply is out in Tempe, Arizona.
Give the phone number if you got it.
800-706-6789.
Okay, it's 800-706-6789. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank you, Brett. Thank you so much for all that you did for everybody today. And say good night.
Good night. Thanks for the conference.
Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you.
This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. If we purchase with the blood of patriots, consecrated for liberty, protected through the generations, now the future rests with me. This sacred ground deserves my all,
no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. Cry for warriors who will be there in the battle line. Who will lift up a prayer of courage? Who will bury me if I die? This sacred ground deserves my heart, no less for God,